Last week we began a study of James chapter 4 with the question, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Well, the first answer that we looked at is the war that rages inside. Now, as a reminder, this is written to Christians, so the war can be described between our sinful and new natures. The result will either be elevating our will above God's, which causes fights, quarrels, and division, or we will submit to God's will and be at peace. So the second answer is detailed in James chapter 4, verses 4 through 10. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it is no purpose that the Scripture says he yearns jealously over the Spirit that he has made to dwell in us? But he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. The root cause of every conflict, whether it's internal or external, is rebellion against God. At the beginning of creation, there was perfect harmony between man and God, but sin came into the world, which led to conflict with God and between man. How does a believer declare war against God? We declare war by being friendly with God's enemies. In these verses, James names three enemies that we must not associate with if we want to be at peace with God. So likewise, peace with God will eliminate fights, quarrels, and division within the family of God. So number one, the world. Does this mean we must go into hiding? Not at all. We're commanded to be the light in the darkness. Now, I know we get frustrated because the world is not behaving in a godly manner. The government are not making wise decisions. They're not operating or working according to God's word. But what is the explanation for their behavior? Well, simply put, they don't know God. Those who do not know God cannot live out God's character and wisdom. The world system is anti-God. James said, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? That word translated friendship is philia, P-H-I-L-I-A, which is to love or have affection based on association. The word translated enmity means to be hostile toward another or to be an enemy. So let me rephrase what James said. Do you not know that your love for the things of this world makes you an enemy of God? Our association with the world leads to our love of the world, which leads to conforming to the world. James compares our relationship to the world with spiritual adultery. As a Christian, you have confessed your loyalty and faithfulness to God alone. If you compromise that confession, you share your loyalty with God's enemy. Recognizing the seriousness of being a friend of the world, why do we choose to be unfaithful to God? Number two, the flesh. The flesh is a reference to our sinful nature that we inherited from Adam. The spirit may use the body to glorify God, or the flesh may use the body to serve sin. When a sinner yields to Christ, he receives a new nature, but the old nature remains. For this reason, there is a battle within. Galatians 5:17, "For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do." This is what James meant in verse 1 when he said, "Your passions are at war within you." Choosing the flesh over the Spirit grieves the Holy Spirit and affects God's influence and wisdom in our lives. Therefore, as we choose the flesh, we are conforming to the ways of the world. James 4:5 is kind of challenging to read. It says, "Or do you suppose it is to no purpose that the Scripture says he yearns jealously over the Spirit that he has made to dwell in us?" To grasp the meaning, we have to go back to the Ten Commandments. Exodus chapter 20, verses 4 and 5 says, "You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord, your God, am a jealous God." God's jealousy is not like worldly jealousy, which desires something that is not yours. God is jealous when someone gives away what rightly belongs to him. When we give worship or service to something or someone else, we are stealing God's glory. God's jealousy will do whatever it takes to protect what is rightfully his. Now let's take that a step further. 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20 says, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body." If you are listening to this and you are a Christian, you submitted and surrendered to the authority of Jesus and were purchased by his blood. Therefore, you have no right to yield to your old nature any longer. So we can rephrase that difficult verse by saying something like this: with a deep desire, God protects what is his by the presence of his Spirit within us. Living to please the old nature means to declare war against God, which causes conflict in our lives and his church. Romans 8, 6 and 7 says, "For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot." By allowing the old nature to control our minds, we willfully choose to lose the blessing of fellowship with God. Number 3, the devil. This should be no surprise. The devil opposes Christ. Pride is Satan's great sin, and it is one of the chief weapons against us. God wants us to be humble. Satan wants us to be proud. God wants us to depend on his grace, while the devil wants us to rely on ourselves. When attempting to do things our way, we are prideful and refusing God's instruction. Operating in our pride breeds conflict. So how do we overcome these three enemies? Real quick, James gives us three things to do to enjoy the peace of God. Number 1, submit to God. Submission is a military term that means get into your proper rank. Don't think more highly of yourself than you ought. If a private tries to behave like a general, there's going to be conflict. Complete, unconditional surrender is the only way to experience God's victory today. However, there will always be battles if there is any area in your life withheld from God. This explains why uncommitted Christians are in conflict with themselves and those around them. Submission is a willful act that brings our bodies under the control of the Spirit. It is to live obediently, intentionally. Second, draw near to God. Well, how do we do that? Cleanse your hands. You and I cannot cleanse ourselves, but God will cleanse us as we confess and repent of our sin. He also said to purify your hearts. Now, this parallels the idea of the spiritual adultery in verse 4. The double-minded Christian can never be close to God. We cannot have a divided heart and be devoted to God. So we must choose God, who is worthy. A.W. Tozer said, "The more we are like God, the nearer we are to God." I guess we could take that statement and we can say, well, if I'm not being like God, it means I am not near enough to God. And we need to take steps to draw near to Him. God will not draw near to us until we deal with our sin, because He's unwilling to share us with anyone else. He must be Lord. Number 3, humble yourselves before God. It is possible to submit outwardly and not be humbled inwardly. God hates the sin of pride, Proverbs 6, verses 16 and 17. And He will punish the proud believer until he is humbled. Let me just pose the question. Do you think it would be better for you to humble yourself before God or allow God to humble you? Well, I think quickly we can answer, it would be best for us to humble ourselves. We tend to treat sin lightly. And according to James, we might even be laughing about it. He said, "Let your laughter be turned to mourning." But sin is serious, and one mark of true humility is facing the seriousness of sin and dealing with our disobedience. Psalm 51:17, "A broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." If we obey these three instructions, God will draw near, He will cleanse us, He will forgive us, and the wars will cease. We will not be at war with God, so we will not be at war with ourselves. This means we will not be at war with each other. Let me close with this verse, Isaiah 32:17. "And the effect of righteousness will be peace, and the result of righteousness, quietness and trust forever."